From WHQR Public Media in Wilmington, North Carolina, it's the Coastline Candidate Interviews. I'm Rachel Lewis Hilburn. Representative Frank Eiler has served North Carolina's House District 17 for 4.5 terms. He is now seeking his fifth. The district includes most of Brunswick County, about 72% of it. The remainder of Brunswick County joins about a quarter of neighboring New Hanover County to make up House District 18, which is served by Democratic Representative Deb Butler. Representative Frank Eiler, a Republican, has worked as a cost accountant and budget supervisor in the textile industry. He has owned a fast food franchise, and he's worked in sales and marketing. He now chairs the Transportation Committee, the House Select Committee on North Carolina River Quality, the Appropriations Transportation Committee, and the Joint Legislative Transportation Oversight Committee. He is facing Democratic challenger Tom Simmons this year, who will join us in the second segment. Frank Eiler, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Today's interviews are pre-recorded, which means we are not taking live calls or emails. Frank Eiler, let's first talk about the political climate we're facing now. After the Brett Kavanaugh hearings, we heard the term broken used frequently, describing not just the process to appoint a Supreme Court justice, but multiple components of government. Where do you think the public conversation stands now? Is the political process broken?
I have a concern that people confuse Washington and Raleigh. We get a lot of things done in Raleigh. Last week, we passed two bills to take care of the school calendar, teachers' pay when all those missed days, 20 or more missed days in Brunswick County, and the start paying for infrastructure and repairs. So that was 109-0 in the House, 46-0 in the Senate.
Has that ever happened in your 4.5 terms?
Oh, yes. Particularly if we have, like, local bills, Representative Butler and I, who you mentioned, we work together for Brunswick County, and she's a Democrat, I'm a Republican, and a lot of local bills, our colleagues trust us that we know what's best, so they'll vote unanimously for our local bills sometimes.
What do you think is different about that? Why is it different in Raleigh than it is in Washington?
I believe we're closer to, I guess, fewer people. you can see your congressman at the grocery store, but you may have to be up in Johnson County or in Wilmington, probably. You can see me at the grocery store or gas station in Brunswick County, right close to us. And Representative Butler and I get to see each other down here around Brunswick County, around Wilmington. And we have to work together. And right now, the whole state is getting behind the southeastern part of the state as far as hurricane recovery, which everybody keeps asking, what's your top priority? Well, it just changed after the hurricane. That's now hurricane recovery, then education, then transportation, and so forth. So that's huge, and it's going to continue next week. We're going to get back together, have a lot better assessment of what the needs are, and we do have a $2 billion rainy day fund, which we didn't have when we came into the majority, and that's going to predict a big portion that's going to be used. The agricultural losses are huge. The transportation infrastructure losses are huge. So it's going to be a lot of funds will have to be spent to bring things back.
As chairman of the House Select Committee on River Quality, what would you say this committee has accomplished over the last year?
Well, so far we have directed money to the university system where they do research on this sort of thing to supplement what DEQ, formerly known as DENR, supplement what they had. Said, well, should have given the $3 million to DEQ. Well, their budget was already $228 million. If they couldn't do the job, the job we're talking about is Gen X. If they couldn't do the job of $228 million, why is $3 million going to make a difference? So we gave it to the collaboratory, I believe they call it, at UNC Chapel Hill and UNCW. And
and what will come out of that? What are you expecting from that?
I think we do a higher quality of testing. They work closer with our utilities, I believe, that have to actually clean the water. Cape Fear Public Utilities as well as the Brunswick County plants.
The criticism about that is that Governor Cooper's proposal was trying to add jobs to the Department of Environmental Quality, formerly DENR. And we know that agency has been cut since 2010. He was trying to add more jobs so that there would be more staff to, in part, test water supplies and also act in a regulatory capacity. So how can you defend cutting that budget for that agency in a time when regulatory oversight seems more important than ever?
Well, we disagree it's been cut if you look at all the budgets we've done, but there were more unfilled jobs than were needed to take care of the jobs that he was asking for. I mean, there was like 47 unfilled jobs. So that was the number that sticks in my mind. This has been a few months since we concentrated on this, but I think we'll follow up what's already been done, which the Gen X concentrations are way down, as you may know, single digits in Brunswick County per trillion. So, again, I think we'll be able to follow up and see what they found. And we're not concerned just about Gen X. We're talking about emerging contaminants. That's the term we've been using, emerging contaminants. We know what we know. We don't know what we don't know. In other words, we want to know what's being what's coming up that they may not be looking for, but it might not be healthy. You know?
A lot of the discussion around Gen X has to do with holding Chemours accountable for some of the costs associated with not just water treatment that's required, but some of the mitigation. Will Chemours be held accountable, and can the state legislature do anything along those lines?
Well, last January, when we started meeting seriously on this with the committee you just mentioned, the DEQ said they had people on site at Chemours making sure they were now meeting the standards that they're supposed to be meeting. That was, 10 months ago. And so I think they have been on the ball since then. I think that's very helpful because actually the water coming into the Brunswick plant in recent months has been as safe, apparently, as the water going out. It's like 8 parts per trillion or some single-digit number like that. So I believe the quality of the water coming in is actually a safe level at this point in time. People may not be hearing that, but that's a result of Chemours being under control by DEQ. And we actually passed a law this year giving the governor the right to shut them down if they didn't. And it's one thing we can agree on. We don't like to go around shutting down businesses and costing jobs, but he can do it if we need to.
And as you say, Gen X is only one of those emerging compounds in the drinking water supply. We don't know what we don't know. And we've heard scientists say that Gen X is just a fraction of a percentage of the chemical cocktail that's actually in the water.
Yeah, I mean, compounds in the universe, I mean, there's tens of thousands of different compounds in the universe, and anything can get into the water, basically. And every time we have a meeting, we have enough information that scares the, you know, what out of us, and we just say, okay, we're going to control everything we can and make it as healthy as possible, but, you know, and try to stay on top of it. And we did provide a lot of money for this. Apparently, I thought this machine they used to analyze the chemicals was what they already had. Well, now I know there are generations of those machines.
You're talking about the mass spectrometer.
Mass spectrometer, yes. It slipped my mind for a second. And I've heard like a longer name used too. But anyway, the mass spectrometer, there are different generations. And they're different, and the more thorough they are, I guess is a good word, not a scientific word, but the more thorough they are, the more expensive they are. So we finally allocated enough money for one of the most expensive machines to be used. And there are universities and so forth do have some of those machines, but they were not the top of the line, you might say.
Okay. And talking about elements that no one can control, Hurricane Florence. So certainly you talked about reconvening next week to look at further aid, particularly for farmers and people who were hit hard in terms of their livelihoods. Hurricane Florence also dumped a lot of waste in the form of coal ash and hog waste from lagoons into the waterways. Is that something that your committee on North Carolina river quality is going to take a look at? Has anyone said, as these weather events become more frequent, we need to look at how hog waste is managed, for instance?
Actually, we've been looking at how hog waste is managed for years, and I think the numbers I heard, I believe there were 3,300 lagoons, and we had problems with either 6 or 11. I've heard two different numbers. That's a pretty small number. And a lot of the problems involve water coming in, not so much bad stuff going out and the waste going out. But, again, they had just a very few breaches compared to the number of lagoons there are. A lot of farmers have really made a lot of improvements, and we hope that will continue to where there's no breaches ever. But
what kinds of improvements have been made to hog lagoons?
I'm not an expert on that. I know they've got liners, and they've got requirements. They've got to be so far from water sources, and just all kinds of elevations that they've got to use so the water doesn't get in or waste doesn't get out. There's all kinds of requirements that have been put in that farmers the vast majority have used those and are not having problems.
So is it fair to say then that the North Carolina Select Committee on River Quality, I'm not sure if I'm putting all the words in the right order there, but the River Quality Committee in the House is focused mostly on emerging compounds, and it's not focused on things like potential contaminants from CAFOs or other kinds of agricultural operations?
We're always concerned about what's in the water, regardless of where it comes from. And the agricultural part has been a topic for 5, 6, 7 years since I became aware of it. And we got in the majority, and Representative Dixon from up here in Duplin County and others have been real leaders in requiring farmers and agricultural community to do the things they need to do without just shutting them down. So he's been a calming voice, I think, to all of us on that, and also has authored a lot of legislation that is well accepted by almost everyone.
Switching gears to health care, more and more states have taken a look at the expansion of Medicaid health coverage, and a new study just came out from Georgetown University's Center for Children and Families, along with the University of North Carolina's North Carolina Rural Health Project. And in the study, they found residents of small towns and rural areas have the most to gain if Medicaid coverage is expanded, and it would significantly reduce the rates of people who are uninsured. Is that something the state legislature would consider?
We have. We've looked at it year after year, how to expand Medicaid. During the ACA or Obamacare years, the last few years, it expanded on its own. And actually, it was billions of dollars being spent more each year until recently. It finally plateaued. I think it's $3.5 billion, where before Obamacare, it was like $1.5 billion Medicaid cost the state each year. So now we feel like it has expanded. What we didn't do is expand the income level at which you would qualify. In fact, I think I would have qualified if we'd expand the income level. I'd like to have free health care, too, like everybody else. I mean, everybody wants it free. There's, who's going to pay for it?
So at this point, you're saying it's been looked at. That's a closed issue from where you sit.
That issue is never closed. Health care will never be a closed issue. We have people that concentrate on that daily in the legislature, and we do have to trust our colleagues. They trust some of us on transportation and a little bit on education. I trust people on health care, Dr. Greg Murphy and others that have taken, and a former hospital administrator, Donnie Lambeth. Some of our representatives know a lot about health care, more than some of the rest of us do, and we trust them to come up and explain good bills to us when we have a good bill. And that's a tricky subject. There have been some stops and starts on managed care organizations, MCOs, and you know, how those are supposed to work, and changing that every year, every session. We make a few changes to try to perfect that, and it'll never be perfect. It's like playing golf, you know.
You're listening to the 2018 Coastline Candidate Interviews. North Carolina House District 17 includes most of Brunswick County. Representative Frank Eiler has served that district for 4.5 terms, and he is seeking his 5th term. Today's discussion is not live, and so we are not taking listener questions today. You are also chairman of the Appropriations Transportation Committee. What are the priorities in the coming years?
Our priorities have been on making a true transportation budget, not just a highway budget. We look at rail, we look at the ports, we look at ferries, we look at all facets of transportation. The priorities are going to continue to be on expanding that to not only make less congestion and more safety for our people on the highways, but also to provide infrastructure for jobs. I mean, look not just passenger highways or passenger rail, but what does for freight. You know, freight rail and like freight rail to the ports is a huge need. And the costs are huge also. There's one idea of bringing the railroad across the river to the Wilmington port instead of going through 33 grade crossings around Wilmington. I'm sure that was outside of Wilmington when it was built, but now it's right in Wilmington, and Ms. Laura Padgett has been active in trying to get that pushed along. And, nothing happens fast, but unless you start talking about it, it'll never happen. So she's been very, very good in keeping us informed on that. And we're looking to how in the future we can accomplish that type of thing. The Morehead City Port needs better highways and rail. It's all about jobs and making our ports more viable. They aren't the biggest ports in the world, but they do a great job as far as turnaround, truck time turnaround, and ship turnaround, and they have a decent market that they're
Brunswick County is the fastest growing county in the state. We know that. That's been true for several years now. Are there any transportation projects that will specifically benefit Brunswick County, such as another crossing over the Cape Fear River between New Hanover and Brunswick counties?
Well, we thought about building a wall across at the river so that the growth would slow down a little bit, but that hasn't gone very far.
Just to be 100% clear, that's tongue-in-cheek.
Yes, yes. I have to throw in a little sarcasm every now and then. It wouldn't be me if I did. Yes, the growth that we've experienced, we need not only growth for commerce and take care of the people we have, future commerce and all, but we need access, say, to South Carolina. The Carolina Bays Parkway has been discussed since 2006, and it's not off the ground yet. South Carolina is ready, and we need to get on the ball and figure out how to pay for that. It doesn't score well on the priority system. So we've got to figure out how to make that happen. It'll be a similar project to I-140, which has been terrific. As far as I know, Leland doesn't love being bypassed, but that's it's helpful for the rest of us to get to the middle of the county and down to where we live. And people going to the Myrtle Beach area, they really appreciate that 10 or 15 minutes they can save and the congestion and all that.
How will the Carolina Bays project positively impact Brunswick County?
Well, it'll give not only access to people, coming from Myrtle Beach area or from South Carolina or from the commerce, getting to the port. People go to Charleston. What if they get to our port quicker, from the Myrtle Beach area or get from the port down to Myrtle Beach? But it'll benefit people both ways, I think. People are already in that corner of the county, shop in Myrtle Beach, and do other things. They buy gas, and I tell them every time they buy gas in South Carolina, they're building roads in South Carolina. They need to buy gas in North Carolina and build roads up here. But that's just me with the fuel tax. Yeah.
Is it true that last election cycle, this would have been 2016, you changed your position on offshore oil and gas exploration?
I changed my position. I don't think I've ever changed my position.
What is your position on that issue?
It's not – I don't have both feet on any side of a fence, okay? And you may say I'm on the fence, but let me explain. It's a national issue to start with. Secondly, the type of testing is being described is been done for years. NOAA and other organizations mapping the ocean floor have done testing at least as strong, if not stronger, than what they're talking about, they being the folks against sonic testing. It is likely we're going to find natural gas and not oil. To use one oil spill out of 10,000 oil wells in the Gulf, or to use the Valdez, we have tankers offshore now. So, I mean, the Valdez was the biggest spill probably in the world up in Alaska, and that's from a tanker. So some of the arguments on both sides are fairly extreme, and I just don't choose to jump in the middle of that because it may never happen in our lifetimes or our children's, and if it does, it might be natural gas. And finally, it's a national security issue. You say, well, we're exporting energy. Well, that sounds good, except we need to export more so that Russia doesn't corner the market or China. It's an economic and national security. I mean, if somehow we have a problem with our energy supply and get into a international crisis like a war or whatever, I think we might have problems.
So what are Brunswick County residents supposed to make of whether you will lobby for or against such activity off the North Carolina coast?
I'll have to leave that up to them. I have got many letters and emails saying the economic impact will be tremendous, and they support it. And I've gotten probably an equal number. Actually, more of the folks against offshore drilling have gone to town councils and gotten resolutions instead of coming to me, you know. And maybe they already know my position. I don't know. I'm not for rushing it, and I'm not against it. So I'm not jumping on both either extreme in that question. I think there are common sense reasons for or against. I'm for clean beaches. I'm for preserving our beaches. A lot of folks that are against that are also against doing things to protect our inlets and our beaches. And you're putting sand on the beach or...
You're talking about people being against, say, terminal groins,
terminal groins is the term that a lot of people don't understand what that is. It's not quite like a jetty, but it's similar. And it actually is a pile of rocks going out in beside an inlet to protect the inlet and protect the beach sand.
There has been consistency, though, across the political spectrum when it comes to coastal stakeholders versus people who are more inland. I think it's a fair characterization to say that the majority of coastal stakeholders have come out in opposition to offshore oil and gas, regardless of their political affiliation.
I would say they're more vocal. I'm not sure that more of them come out. I get more actual written letters in support at this point in time. Now, after this show airs, I may get more written letters on the other side. But
and are those written letters coming from your constituents or other interests?
No, they're coming from the constituents. They're not all the same. A lot of the emails I get 200 the same, and they've got somebody's email, and they're sending out their agenda or their position. And that's more on that side that you're talking about. I'm trying to criticize either side, but I get more canned emails. I get more agitation, you might say, and the town councils do, and the board of commissioners gets more agitation from that side and more vocal and vociferous vocal sometimes.
And we have just a minute or so. I want to get to teacher pay because this is something that we've watched come up over the last few years. But when we speak to candidates who are running for re-election to the school board or challengers, one of the things we hear across the board is we still need more money to attract the best and keep the best teachers. What do you say to that as a state legislator?
Well, everybody in Brunswick County that's been listening knows I'm an advocate for teacher pay. I'm an advocate for the teaching fellows, which went away, and we're kind of slowly bringing it back. That would have trained teachers at no cost for college, to stay in North Carolina, and also for local control. We do have an issue when it comes to school calendar. We don't want the tourist season to disappear. But the teachers know I'm an advocate and teacher assistants. I've been very vocal on that.
And so you'll push next session for more teacher pay? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I mean, people say that, act like I haven't been. We've been increasing teacher pay for the last 5 years, and in many cases, fairly well.
Representative Frank Eiler, sorry, that's our time. That's the music. Thanks for taking the time to share your views today.
Thank you for having me.